It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our mind. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a free gift every week.
Warning! Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes. And get sidetracked at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. We're glad you're here.
For sure. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing good, Gene. How are you?
Excellent. Love taking a break.
Yeah. How about a word of the day? Do you love those too?
You know, that's the only thing I like better than starting my break is when the word of the day comes in right after that.
Well, how about the word avocation?
Ooh, okay.
Do you know what a vacation is?
Vacation, yeah.
Do you know what a vocation is?
Well, vocation, I guess, is the opposite of vacation.
Nope. Well, yeah, in a way. Because you take a vacation from your vocation.
Yeah, which is your work that you do for your living
if
career.
If you know you've ever gone to vocational school or taught at vocational schools, then it is teaching people how to work in a certain skill set. You take a vacation, or as they say in Europe and some other countries, on holiday.
On holiday.
I'm taking a holiday. Well, an avocation is a hobby or a minor occupation. In fact, in a recent issue, maybe, I don't remember which issue it was, Beunique magazine, Linda Humphrey wrote an article called...
Cornfield.
Well, it was about the Cornfield Flyers. I forget what the name of it. It was something about Heaven's Waiting Room, something like that.
Okay.
But it was about a group of professionals. I know there was one or two doctors, maybe a surgeon, some mechanics, people that had jobs, full-time jobs, and their careers were very... mentally taxing, I guess you'd say. They were erudite in nature. And on the weekends, most weekends, they get together and they go paragliding. That's their hobby. That's their avocation. They just soar in the air with nothing stopping them. Nothing between them and the earth but a couple of wings and a little motor that I think they're motorized. And so that today we're talking about hobbies, but not just any hobbies.
Which would be an avocation.
Would be an avocation. But let me ask you, what are some of your hobbies?
Well, it's kind of a fine line between hobbies and, tasks or chores. Because I do a lot of my hobbies when I'm doing my work. Like I play the recorder as a hobby. And so I also use it for my vocation, which is my main job, which is Beunique Radio.
True. It pays you so handsomely.
Well, you know, I get paid in love and light, you know. It's like we all do.
That's the thing about volunteering is that you do have a job to do. It's a physical job that must be done, but you do reap such rewards from volunteering.
Yes. It's not for everybody.
No.
It really isn't, because you got to understand the connection and be able to...
You have to have a philanthropic heart.
Yeah, because it won't connect with the signal when it comes in.
And that's why there are so many nonprofits with volunteers in different fields. I would not be the one to volunteer to work at an animal sanctuary. I love animals. I do indeed love animals.
You say love or live with?
I love and live with.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my animals is sitting right here at the studio, just purring away, thankfully, instead of howling.
But if you worked there, you'd probably have lots of... You'd want them all home.
That's why I can't do that.
Yes.
I know a lot of people who their avocation is fostering animals, cats, dogs, whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then they end up with six or seven dogs that they don't ever let go. They don't stop fostering.
We'll keep this one.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep just one more. Can I have one more dog, honey? You said playing the recorder.
Yeah.
I know that one of your hobbies is constructing unique things. And I see a lot of that on Beunique Radio on Facebook. You'll take a picture with your little Beunique button in unique settings. You know, photography is a hobby for you, right?
Yeah, that's true. Photography, that's true. I'm being unique is a hobby.
Yes.
I think being unique
is a way of life.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
But you take pictures of this little I love Beunique button in your flower bed or like you created something for Jennifer, I know, out of a sunflower stalk.
Mm-hmm.
That was
really
cool. I saw it. I'd love to get a picture of it and post it with this slideshow, if one exists. I don't know, but it was a little cage with some sunflower seeds and some gemstones in it, wrapped in a copper wire, and then it was anchored to a stick, a metal post, I guess you'd say, so that she can use it as a garden ornament. And it was very beautifully done. And I've seen you make wands.
Mm-hmm. I love making things.
Yeah.
I like working with wire.
Yeah, it's cool.
You can make tornadoes all day. Everyone's different. Get them to stand up is kind of a fun part of the challenge.
Oh, that's kind of... We should make tornadoes and sell them.
Sure. Well, I want to make a tornado kit, because if we show everybody how to do it and give them the materials, they can make their very own tornado.
That would be cool.
And if we use the right kind of wire, they can take it apart and redo it and do another
over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Well, for me, gardening is partly a pastime or a hobby, but it's also therapy for me.
Yes.
Taking photos is therapeutic for me. I love painting. I would not call myself a great painter, but I'm good at it. I'm a better photographer than I am a painter, because I can see things that other people can't see, but that's not unusual. But for me, Be Unique is definitely my vocation. It's what I do, and I love it.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like we have created it, I think, in our society, more of a money versus non-money thing.
Yes.
When it really isn't necessarily about the money per se. It's about what you... It's your main thing that you do when you get up in the morning that you're going to do all day, pretty much, to make things go down the road.
Right.
And then you do other things, minor things. I think minor was the word that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
For the hobbies, you know, that just, you don't do it that much. You know, you got to get the other stuff done first, and then you can do the little other stuff for whatever reason you have.
Like doing the dishes or cleaning the toilets.
Exactly.
The things that you do to maintain your lifestyle.
Well, yeah.
But
go through the struggle and the work of doing the dishes, and then you get the chance to do the toilet. So
I like the way you said that. Yeah. You have the opportunity.
Yeah, it's all about that.
So Barb did some research for us into not just hobbies, but extreme or unusual hobbies.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So the first one that I saw here blew me away, because it's certainly not one I will ever, I can't imagine endeavoring to pursue. It's called extreme ironing.
I actually
I knew a woman who used to set up her ironing board with an extension cord in the yard in the summertime, because she just loved the heat.
Uh-huh.
I try not to have to ever iron anything. I don't see the need for it.
Right.
However, one time Curtis and I went to an event, and his shirt was wrinkled, and he told a friend of his that saw us there, he said, Mary, why don't you introduce Curtis to an iron? I said, what's that?
What's that?
It's not my job to make sure my husband looks good. It's his job to be comfortable. Actually, last night we went out, and I said, I need to adjust my wardrobe or something like that. And so I just put on a jacket over this. I was wearing a tank top or something. I just put a jacket on over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do I look presentable? He goes, you look too fancy to be going anywhere with me. I said, we have very low standards in our clothing requirements. But people who do extreme ironing find weird or unusual ways to set up their ironing board. So they might do it on the side of a building or...
Well, we used to go to the park and stand out and do it.
No way.
Yeah.
Where'd you get your electricity from?
Well, we didn't need electricity. It was just doing it.
Just...
It was the act of doing it, like a hobby.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of like Where's Waldo or What's the Little Elf on a Shelf thing? Only it's real humans. You go ironing. You do
it. A lot of people did it?
I've seen people do it like on the top of a fence, you know, balancing on the top of a fence and ironing, or like a setting on the top of their car ironing.
Remember when planking was a thing?
Yeah.
People would do planking in the weirdest locations?
Yeah, same type of thing.
I think Be Unique should do something weird like that. I don't know what it is yet. Because remember the ice bucket challenge and stuff of that nature. We need to find something unique that people can do and create a fundraiser around it. It might be extreme ironing.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'll bet we can come up with something.
I know we can.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a hobby. Graham Baker has a Guinness World Book of Records for collecting his own belly button fluff.
Oh, my goodness.
For 20 years. Okay. Well.
That's awesome.
I think men have more belly button fluff than women because men have usually hair around their navels.
Maybe.
And it kind of collects it. I'm not sure. I'm just not going there.
Well, all I know is there every day. There's every day. I'm so surprised at what humans do.
Well, now this is interesting. I know you've heard of birders.
Yes.
And you know they have. I forget what they call them. I think they just call it a lifer. They have a bird that they look for all of their life.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, Kathy and Tom Price, you know Kathy from the Little Green Oasis.
Yeah.
She's a birder. And she had seen one of her lifetime birds recently, so she was excited about that.
Nice.
And I have a friend in England who's a birder, and she saw her first sandhill crane.
Oh.
And she decided, because they're not native to England.
Right.
But she thinks that it probably had gotten swept over in a hurricane and survived.
Likely.
Yeah. So wow. This made me think about train spotting. And I've heard, I think there's a band called Train Spotters, but I never thought twice about what it was.
Interesting.
People watch for trains. When they see them, they write down the numbers of the train, and they collect seeing certain types and tracking trains in certain regions. Or all of the trains in a certain company.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like collecting train sightings.
Yeah. It's something you do that's not collecting things. You're collecting memories of doing it. And my mom and I did similar things when we were with, you know, she was declining in age. And one of the things that I promised I would do with her was take her to see unusual things. And we saw the world's smallest chapel. And these were all things that we could do in a day.
Nice.
Drive out in the morning, have lunch, go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the world's largest coffee pot. And there were several other things. Right now, those are the two that I can remember. But we always went to little towns that had these, like a city square and a big clock in the middle of the square. That was a kind of fun thing to see the different clocks everywhere.
Sure. That's cool. Well, it used to be clocks and were more common.
Yes.
Around town.
Yeah. Now everybody has their cell phones.
Yeah,
tape art. Now, when I read that, I thought it was going to be
Like duct tape
or that, they call it mushy tape or something like that. I forget what it's called. It's,
yeah.
But that's not what it is. It's taking a cassette tape, pulling the tape out, and using it to create a picture of the artist. Now, apparently it's a common thing. Now, I know the singer Bruno Mars, he's got a song, I think it's called Beautiful, but it may be something else. But it's talking about a girl who has low self-esteem, and he keeps repeating, you're beautiful just the way you are. But he takes the ribbon from a cassette tape. Oh, I'm not sure if he does it or someone else, but an artist draws this girl with the tape, and it's beautiful. It's very good likeness of her.
Must be what they're talking about.
Yeah, that, I think so.
Interesting.
What time is it?
Oh, my.
I haven't even gotten through my list.
Oh, well.
Well, soap carving, milk bottle collecting, competitive dog grooming in China.
Mooing.
Men dress in cow costumes and compete for the title of the best mooer.
Wow.
Toy voyagers, where people send their toys on a potentially worldwide adventure and write a story. I've heard of this where there was children do this in school with a little one-dimensional figure called Flat Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others. I know someone who did that with a specific teddy bear she sent around. You just mail it and say, send me a picture, and then mail it on to somebody else.
That's pretty cool.
And tattooing vehicles. So people will tattoo words from Buddhist texts onto automobiles.
Huh.
I don't know if that means they just paint it or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I can't believe we ran out of time, Gene.
Well, it was awful fast. Well, you know what they say. Time flies when you're having an avocation.
Time flies when you're advocating. Is advocating a word?
Yeah.
Advocating?
Sure.
It is now.
It is now. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure glad everybody decided to take a break with us today. We got to get out of here and get back to doing what we do when we're not taking a break. If you'd be so kind as to check us out at beunique.org. Check out all of our cool radio shows. We got a bunch of them.
At
beunique.org.
And eventually I'll get my stuff together.
That's all right. See you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.